Good morning and welcome to Tuesday morning, May the 14th in 2024 on When I Rise. Today we continue Year B, the day of Pentecost, and on the Tuesday of the week, I'd like to take a look at the Psalm passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary in this week of the church's calendar year. And so we find ourselves in Psalm 104, and we're going to piece that up a little bit. So it's going to go from verses 24 through 34, and then we'll jump ahead to 35b. So let me read that passage. Provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Psalm 104, verses 24 through 34, and then 35b. Lord, you have done so many things. You have made them so wisely. The earth is full of your creations, and then there's the sea, wide and deep, with its countless creatures, living things both small and large. There go the ships on it, and Leviathan, which you made, plays in it. All your creations wait for you, to give them their food on time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled completely full. But when you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. When you let loose your breath, they are created, and you make the surface of the ground brand new again. Let the Lord's glory last forever. Let the Lord rejoice in all that he has made. For he has only to look at the earth and it shakes. God just touches the mountains and they erupt in smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I'm still alive. Let my praise be pleasing to him. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. But let my whole being bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is a word of God for us. All right, so let's take a look at Psalm 104. Once again, looking through the lens of Pentecost, like what does this have to say about the Spirit, right? And the wind, the breath that we talked about last week. And I think what we have is an interesting psalm here. I think this is a teaching psalm. Others might find it to be something else. But I do feel like the psalmist is praising God, but is also pointing out things within creation so that people are taught as they sing. And I think for some of us, that's our favorite types of songs, you know, songs that are not just bangers that like, you know, heavy, like, tapping the dashboard as you're listening in the car, or like when the, you know, band begins to fire it up on Sunday morning, like you're like pumping your fist, like, yes, I love this song. But don't we love songs that, you know, teach us something, that, you know, cause us to think and meditate on a grand idea and thought, you know? The Wesley hymns are like that. And Can It Be That I Should Gain, probably chief among them, because as the verses progress after one another, this grand thought of the many-sided diadem of our salvation is revealed. So if you haven't heard And Can It Be That I Should Gain, highly recommend. I think it's going to be a song sung in heaven, friends. Like, you just need to get used to it because, you know, God's going to fire up the band and that we're going to sing it. And I think you're going to want to sing with your eyes closed on that one. So at any rate, I think this is what's going on in Psalm 104. It's a psalm of creation as well. It begins to point out different things, including like the sea creatures that are in it. I think this little cameo of Leviathan is so funny. And I think it's important to its message. So Leviathan is in Hebrew lore, this great sea monster that is terrifying. Maybe some people claim to see it like Loch Nessy or something like that. But nevertheless, I think it points to a grand theological idea. So there's a sense where like the ocean and the sea is the place where evil dwells. We see this even in the rabbinical literature. We see this in the commentary on the Hebrew Bible. You know, people who had to live by the sea, like they were in a moment where the sea could be calm and all of a sudden like a big storm goes up, like it's terrifying. And so you would conclude with a pre-modern mind that maybe this is where evil lives. Like, you know that evil is encroaching upon God's world. And so you want to try to locate where it is so you can avoid it, right? And so there's this sense that maybe the sea is like that. When Jesus walks on water, like he's walking on, and they begin to wonder, like, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? So like Jesus is not doing just a miracle, but there's like a message within the miracle that he's the one who is taming the waters of chaos and he's beating evil back. You'll notice at the very end of the book of Revelation, as John is sketching out the new heavens and new earth, that he specifically says there is no sea. And for those of us who love the beach, we're like, dude, come on, the beach. But I think what they're saying there is it's still going to be a lovely place, but like there's going to be no hint of an awareness of evil in that new creation to come. So here's Leviathan. He used to be this terrifying figure. You'd hate to have your babies go wade in the waters lest Leviathan shows up. But even Leviathan, he's still in the waters, but he's just playing around, you know, and God gives him that space to play, and he's not terrorizing. So I think what we see here is that creation is being tamed. It's being something that's beautiful and not, you know, haunting or horrifying or something, a place where we feel danger and sense danger, but it's something that is being brought under submission to its God, right? And I think that that's what's going on in the life of the Spirit. In the life of the Spirit, you and I, all the chaos waters within us are being tamed, and the chaotic waters of evil in the world are being brought to ruin because of what Jesus has done at his crucifixion and resurrection. Paul will say it this way in the book of Colossians, that Jesus disarmed the powers, right? And I think that's what's going on. As we live the spiritual life personally, we see the disarming of all the things that used to vex us, the things that used to cause us to live in guilt and self-condemnation, because God has given us victory over those things. And then what is the Spirit doing among us as the community of God? He's allowing us to see evil being beat back. And there's a sign that creation is being renewed, you know, inch by inch, until all of God's creation story and redemption story comes to its conclusion, right? And we see that as a Spirit-filled people. We see that chapter after chapter, chapter in the story of the Spirit, the book of Acts, right? Any place they go, there's like this disarming of false worship. There's this exalting of God. There's these churches being planted in the most, you know, rascal-filled parts of God's creation. People are turning to Jesus and they're wanting to follow God and be his disciple. So that's what happens with people of the Spirit. We see God do great and wonderful things, right? So with those things in mind, we'll spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are overwhelmed by your goodness and your kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you've scooped us into the family of God, and you've kept us in this world so that we can watch your redemption story come into full bloom. And so, God, we recognize the evidence of that in our own life. We look back and all the ways in which you've transformed and changed us. You've strengthened our faith, and you've caused us to shake off all of the snares that used to bind us so tightly in our past. We thank you for the freedom that we have found in Christ. And then we also thank you for watching that as the people of God, we work together in mission in the earth. That we're seeing you plant these colonies of redemption all over your world, and people are streaming to it. And so this day, may we be Spirit-filled people again, so that we can walk in a greater depth of freedom, and so that we can see the next chapter of redemption story being played out in front of us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.